Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, what are the experts, so-called, saying about the Houston Texans? We power rank the power rankings every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. They better start winning or this segment's going to get more and more painful. And if I'm being honest, this is pretty painful compared to what we thought about the Texans coming into the year. Just for some perspective, I would say, Seth, if we were to pull the power rankings from the five outlets that we're using today in no particular order, yet SI.com, USA Today, The Athletic, CBS, and ESPN, if we were to go back and look before the season, I would say you average the rankings out across those five for the Texans. Probably fell somewhere between like 10 and 13, I would guess. You know, Texans, I think, were viewed as a, not in the top third, but on the fringe of the top third.
The Texans and the Chargers were just typically tied at the hip. They were like conjoined twins somewhere around
there. Yeah, that
ain't
happening anymore. The Chargers look good.
They got out to an early start, Sean. There's still time left. Still mid-September.
So that's the neighborhood the Texans were living in coming into the season.
Yeah.
They're not living in that neighborhood anymore in these outlets. So let's do this here. You'll notice a trend typically when we power rank these power rankings. It just happens to fall this way. That the better you rank the Texans, the higher you happen to be up the power ranking of the power rankings. It's weird how that works. And maybe it still works that way here, because I will say this. It's a little like Animal House. Hey, they can't say mean things about our pledges. Only we can say mean things about our pledges.
Right. Usually it's like that.
Yeah.
I'm in the mood for hearing all kinds of mean stuff. Okay. And honestly, no, I'm like trying to outsource, you know, I need people to explain some of this stuff to me. I need an outside observer to come in. And you know what they always say? An expert is somebody who's from out of town. There is always somebody who's from, yeah, that's what I need. I need somebody to come in with a different perspective.
When we do these power rankings here, I'm also going to read the teams that are just ahead and just behind the Texans in each of them.
Yeah.
Just so you can kind of get a feel for
what neighborhood we're living in.
Yes, yes. All right, number five, power ranking of the power rankings. The Athletic has the Texans down seven big notches. From seven, that's a big fall in power rankings.
That's the blessing and the curse of playing on Monday night,
that's
Sean.
Right,
everything gets amplified. Yeah,
good call, Seth.
And just a big stage.
Good call. They are 24th. In the, they're in the upper quartile of the bottom quartile.
But they're a scrappy 24th, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
They've played these two teams. Where are the Rams and the Bucks on these? So hey, if they're the 24th best team, they've scrapped it out at least.
True. Yeah, I don't have time.
They
scroll.
Wait until the fourth quarter to get destroyed by both of those good teams.
I don't have time to scroll that high. These are the two teams that are surrounding them. The New England Patriots are one spot ahead of them at 23.
Oh,
the Chicago Bears, who gave up 52 points on Sunday to the Lions are 25.
I guess the best thing I could say about that is that, hey, at least the Bears spent a boatload of money in free agency and on trades for to upgrade their offensive line, and they're still atrocious. Just
25th.
Like the Texans. We're more prudent.
That's right.
We're more prudently incompetent on the offensive line. Yes.
They've got the athletics topic for each team this week, Seth, is an overreaction to the beginning of the season, to the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Tell me how this sounds. The overreaction for the Texans in the Athletic, C.J. Stroud's slump is concerning.
Okay.
Here's what they say. The Texans have failed their young quarterback with a bad offensive line plan, but Stroud is not blameless. In his first 20 games as a pro, he threw 30 touchdown passes and 8 interceptions. My God, that sounds like it was 8 years ago. He had 100.2 passer rating. In the 14 games since, he's got 14 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, and his passer rating is 81.4. That divide dates back to week 5 of 2024, which was also his last 300-yard passing game. That was the win over the Bills in week 5 last season. So the dividing point...
I think for right now, where my patience is especially tested right this moment, you know, we're less than 12 hours since that game ended.
Yeah.
And the thing where I'm trying to be patient is, I was just talking to Reginald Atatula about this. There's elements where it looks like CJ is maybe a little bit overly rigid in trying to execute the offense and go through his progressions in a way that when you're doing something for the first time, you're trying to go paint by the numbers, and that maybe this is all part of the process. So that's what I'm telling myself.
Yep.
And it just, at some point, it's got to click and start looking more like a cohesive plan. And I don't think it's as simple as just getting Christian Kirk back out there. That could certainly help.
It'll help, yeah.
I mean, the absence of Joe Mixon doesn't make things any easier. But that's what I'm telling myself right now.
All right, next on the power ranking of the power rankings is Pete Prisco with CBSSports.com. He has the Texans at 23rd, down 4 big notches from 19th last week. Prisco's never been big on the Texans this year.
Not this year. He used to be kind of a little hot on him.
Yeah, he's a Jacksonville guy, so I'll look and see where he's got the Jags. But like the Athletic, he's got the Patriots just ahead of the Texans and the Bears just behind the Texans. So nothing real new there. It's, you know, sort of same neighborhood, just one rank ahead.
This is, where's the offense? They don't score enough, which is a major concern after 2 games. The offensive line is still a problem. Yep, yeah. There you go.
Very good summation, Pete Prisco. Jags 19th, by the way, the Texans' opponent this coming Sunday. Third on the power ranking of the power rankings would be USA Today, has the Texans at 20th on their power rankings, just behind the Jacksonville Jaguars and just ahead of the Dallas Cowboys at 21st. So the Texans, despite being 0-2, still ahead of some 1-1 teams here.
This is exactly what we talked about earlier. They say with the next 2 matchups against AFC South foes, it's go time for an underachieving offense that has yet to produce 270 yards or 20 points in either of its first 2 games.
Yeah.
These guys are very surface level. I think that
270 haven't produced 270 yards yet.
And I think much like Ross Tucker this morning, I think people outside of Houston are pretty much just giving the defense an entire pass. Yeah. And I get that, and I understand that. I think in Houston, maybe this is just me, but I feel like this is a lot of our listeners and other people, is that, no, that defense has had major letdowns in the fourth quarter of both these games. And, yeah, they do some fun, swarmy stuff and what have you, but they blew... Despite how bad the offense is, you knew that it was going to be work for the offense. The defense is underperforming now. And they've got some systemic issues that you see, like, okay, this is going to be a problem moving forward. If your linebackers can't tackle in space, if they can't execute a blitz properly, if the entire team in general can't tackle properly, and if you're getting at times physically manhandled versus the run, that's going to be a problem versus teams like, I don't know, the Ravens? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you think? They're allowing 13 of 27 on third down this year.
Yeah, they're an awful third down defense.
Awful
That's
third
the money down,
defense. Down
right there. Yeah,
and your offense is 4 for 18 on third down this year.
Really?
4 for 18. 2 for 9 in each game so far this year. All right, number 2, power ranking of the power rankings. The SI.com folks have the Texans all the way up at 18th.
Oh, yeah.
All the way up at 18th. Seth, they
We're sniffing the median.
They actually moved them up a notch from last week.
Really?
Yeah.
This is barely a fact. I don't even know what SI is anymore. Aren't they a hotel company?
That's true. They do have hotels now.
Yeah.
They are just behind the Falcons and just ahead of the Cowboys. I like this neighborhood a little better than the neighborhoods that Prisco and company had them in. Here's what SI.com says. The Texans are digging an incredible hole to climb out of, made more difficult by the optics of these first two losses. C.J. Stroud has remained unspectacular, and despite heightened control over the offense, has not grabbed either of these games by the throat.
Ooh.
Had it not been for Nick Chubb, the Buccaneers may not have even needed a last-second comeback. Boy, I got to go back and look at that Chubb touchdown to see if they were letting him score.
That was a weird one, man. Like, at one point, Vita Vea kind of throws one of his arms up, either because...
That's very un-Vea-like.
It looked like maybe he thought that somebody was supposed to be slanting inside there or something, but it was a way... It didn't look like guys were deliberately tanking right there.
Yeah.
I mean, they were running hard after it, but I don't know. I mean, that's a gutsy move by Bulls in that moment, if that's what it was. But regardless, that was the one... Now, C.J. Stroud hasn't grabbed the moment by the throat or whatever they said. This is why the Chargers game is really, really annoying, because they were actually on a really nice drive.
Mm-hmm.
Agumbawale fumbles the ball, fumbles the game away. And then, you know, last night, Agumbawale got trucked by a defensive back.
He doesn't belong on the field.
Yeah.
He doesn't belong out there on offensive snaps. I don't know what it is about the blind spot with running backs with this team. After 2 years, they finally make Damian Pearson active.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a good game that matters since 2023 or 2022.
And this is the frustrating thing is I'm watching Charlie Hecks out there. He's having some bad plays, but he's also part of a much better offensive line for the Bucs than the Texans had, and they figure out a way to make it do. So Charlie Heck, who was not good enough for the crack squad of killers that was the 2024 offensive Texans offensive line.
Yep.
But the Bucs seem to be managing with him as a hey, how about that? Right tackle goes down. What do? They insert the backup. What a weird concept.
That might be the most that might be the most embarrassing part about that final drive. Two things: the tackling for sure, and that the Buccaneers with a completely makeshift offensive line marched down the field 80 yards in 2 minutes on you.
And the Bucs did reshuffle everybody, too. I mean, they've got a center playing left tackle.
I know he played left tackle in college, but at the NFL level, the guy's a center, and he's playing left tackle.
I got frustrated with the mush rush last night, where they're trying to contain rush. They're trying to contain rush Baker Mayfield because he can hurt you so much as a scrambler. The tough thing about Baker is, though, I mean, I like the mush rush when you've got a quarterback who's an idiot in the pocket, but that's not Baker Mayfield.
He's not an idiot.
He's a very competent and adept pocket passer.
All right, last one here, power ranking of the power rankings. Number one on the board, the last one, the last vestige of having the Texans in the upper half of teams in the NFL is ESPN.com. Boy, we complain about ESPN all the time. They have these idiots on TV just yelling at each other all the time. And yet I'm putting him at the top of the power ranking of the power rankings. 16th, holding steady from 16th last week, Seth. The category for ESPN.com is biggest QB takeaway. DJ Bienemay writes the blurb for the Texans in the power rankings. Biggest QB takeaway, C.J. Stroud has had growing pains in Nick Caley's offense. DJ says this. After week one, Stroud said his goal through the first few weeks has been to play with more urgency in the new system, which includes getting them set up quicker out of the huddle. I will say they did do that last night. They did get out of the huddle. They got out of the
huddle.
There's less
lollygagging?
Yeah, less lollygagging. They were
kind of like quickening your pace on the way to the electric chair.
Hey, not wasting anybody's time. Yeah.
Got a schedule to keep up here.
That's right.
jogging the green mile. Woo! Up tempo.
In week one, the offense had 5 pre-snap penalties and contributed to Stroud's inability to throw a touchdown or lead the offense to the end zone. They got into the end zone twice in week two, but the offense failed to put up over 270 yards, and Stroud admitted, quote, we need more confidence as an offense. We'll do this for the late arriving crowd in the next segment. We'll play CJ's press conference again. It's 5 minutes. It's worth listening to, and I think it encapsulates a lot of some of the confusion of where this team is right now. DJ says, expect growing pains through the first half of the season. DJ? Oh, you're like a meteorologist that just showed me it being 98 degrees for the next 2 months.
Oh, man.
You're a June meteorologist, DJ Bien-Aimé. First half of the season?
I can't tell you how excited I was when they ran that cute little zone fake, it was like phony zone read there on the goal line.
Down near the goal line. Second down.
Just watching Vita Vea truck. I think he was on Patterson at the time. Just watching that offensive line just get destroyed as Nick Chubb tried to take his weary old bones into the end zone.
The second half of last night's game was probably as futile about the offense as I did at any time during the Bobby Slowick era. When Nico Collins got tackled at the one, I'm like, they're not going to score. When they blocked that punt, I'm like, just don't take a sack and get out of field goal range.
That one there too, you know, Troy Aikman on the broadcast had said that if Nico had flattened his route a little bit more there, he probably could have had the run after the catch for a touchdown. And some of that was, and maybe, again, just if you're trying to be patient, maybe by tomorrow and the next day it gets easier to be a little bit more patient. It's that some of the wide receivers adjusting their routes when recognizing blitz and everything else like that. It's just guys aren't on the same page right now.
Yep. All right, that was the power ranking of the power rankings. I mentioned it. Up next, we'll play C.J. Stroud's press conference from last night. There were some very interesting things that were said. There was an interesting vibe in that press conference last night. I don't think – it's not nothing. So we're going to play that. It's about 5 minutes long. We're going to play that in the next segment and chop it up afterwards. We'll do that coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
What we all miss the most is the food.
The Chinese food.
Any decent Chinese food or pizza.
New York City pizza.
I'm not driving 35 minutes for a decent slice of pizza, okay?
There's no pizza. There's no bagels.
The bagels.
Man, I miss some bacon, egg, and cheeses, man.
I have 3 Thai places on my block.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, we had communication issues up front, and they got us on some blitzes, things that, you know, we've seen, we work. You know, we have to look at the film to see what those issues were. But we got to, you know, of course, not have those and make sure we're picking things up the right way.
All right, that was D'Amico Ryans, Texans head coach. Very first question for him at his press conference last night was about the protection issues for C.J. Stroud. He attributed it to communication issues.
Right, and I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's just following the fundamentals of how you're supposed to pick up blitzes. And the Bucs do a really good job of delaying and disguising and confusing people. But there's just too many times. The Texans were inept and just allow it. It's not a communication issue as much as just guys not being aware and being locked in on the guy in front of them. And you end up with a free rusher to CJ. There were other times where the blitzes were just, all-out blitz where there is no answer and there's going to be an unblocked defender. But CJ didn't have options for it downfield or didn't make the right read. So, I mean, it's just as it was last week. It's across the board. It's kind of a grab bag of various issues where guys just are inadequate. They're just, and you can pick and choose from play to play who's breaking down. It wasn't just the offensive line. I think it's the route concepts themselves put out there by Kaylee. It's the wide receivers adjusting their routes. It's CJ in his reads, and it's as well as the offensive line. None of it's good.
Nope, none of it's good. And CJ Stroud is partially to blame for it all as well. He's the quarterback. He's the steward of all this out there on the field. CJ Stroud met with the media following last night's game. Take a listen. There's some interesting stuff in here, including a response or at least a counterpoint to D'Amico Ryan's claiming it was communications issues that ailed the offense.
On that fourth down play, you're rolling left. Do you prefer to roll out left versus right? Does that matter to you at all?
No, it does not.
Hey, CJ, D'Amico talked about some communication challenges. Were those some of the issues when you guys got down in the red zone late in the game?
Communication in what way?
He just said there was some communication challenges.
I didn't have any communication issues. I thought we split the play pretty clean, and we were just lining up. Some guys weren't set, so I had to get Higgs set on the fourth down. And other than that, I mean, and that's kind of normal. But I didn't really anything down there that I can remember.
When y'all had the ball at the 1 yard line, what went wrong in your opinion there?
Just didn't get the ball in the end zone. It was kind of plain, kind of simple. No, just, I don't know. We just didn't get the ball in the zone. That's all I could really think of.
Is it disappointing that y'all had so many opportunities to put this game away and you weren't able to capitalize on the opportunities tonight?
Yeah, it is.
Well, the two games where you think it's just kind of been more or less the inability to consistently get into the end zone with the time that you guys do have?
It's a young offense, you know. Don't really, you know, can make a bunch of excuses, but we're just not getting it done. So at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And, you know, we're moving the ball pretty well. Just got to put 7 on the board. And that's, you know, the big difference right now. So, yeah.
CJ, what did you notice in the opening touchdown pass to
Nico? Sorry?
What did you notice in the opening touchdown drive?
Heck of a catch. I thought, you know, did a good job in that first drive. Just staying down, you know, just staying committed to, you know, our plan, not wavering. And I thought Nico did a good job of just keep running. Corner played it good, just try to put in a spot on what he can get. Yeah, I think it was a heck of a catch.
You mentioned a young receiving core, not that many guys you have experience with. Do you feel like this offense misses Tank's presence and your guys' chemistry right now?
We can say a bunch of different things about, you know, who's out, who's not. You know, Higg and Jay Noe and Jay Watt. Hutch, Neek, you know, they've done a good job in there, you know. We just got to, you know, find ways to get them the ball in space more. Thought, you know, Kales did a good job of that today, but, you know, it's always evident, you know, it's the bad things that everybody points out, but that's the NFL. You know, you can't, you know, let guys hang around and, you know, give them a shot to come back. That's what they'll do. So, but I thought our young guys handled it as best as they could. Of course, it's always things to clean up, but, yeah, it's no excuse in that. Like, we just got to make more plays.
We got time for a few more, Jonathan and Sergeant Cam.
CJ, what if anything that you felt like the Bucs did a lot better after the first two drives after you all had that success?
I started pressuring a little more, especially on third down, just dick stunts and, you know, just slamming their D line in ways. Other than that, like, their back end, they just double Nico a lot, which we kind of presumed that they were going to do. You got to just know those plays where we're going 3 and out or, you know, we're just not sustaining drives. Those are the ones that lose us the game. Of course, you know, not coming up short on the goal line is tough as well. And that's evident as well, but there's a bunch of different things we can clean up.
CJ, Coach said that you all need to improve in the running game on tonight. You all had some really good plays on the, in the passing game. How do you all get those two to match up?
Just continue to do it, continue to play. You know, it's a long season. You know, it's week two. Hopefully we learned our lessons and learn to put teams away and learn to, you know, put points on the board. So we can say a bunch of different things on what could have went right. But at the end of the day, it's about winning games. And those plays that are in between, you know, those are the games. I mean, those are the plays that you end up winning or losing on. So in my opinion, I think that's, you know, what we got to get better at is just making more plays and sustaining drives.
Hey, CJ, as a leader on this team, you've been here before in your rookie season. You guys got off to a slow start. What do you say to your teammates as you guys, get ready for next week, but try to keep your head up because 1-2, but it's not over?
Yeah, just stay together. Stay committed to one another, trust in one another. You know, the sun arises in the morning. You know, it's not the end of the world, but at the same time, you know, we all get paid a service. You know, to do a job, and you know, we got to get those jobs done at a faster rate. And yeah, I think, you know, as a team, we got to just stay together. Everybody's gonna talk crazy, and we suck, we this, we that, and at the end of the day, we got to stay together and just mesh well and, you know, be honest, have our hard conversations. But, you know, I think right now we need more confidence as an offense, at least, just confidently playing better together. I think that's a big thing. We haven't played together, a lot of us. So the more confidence that we build, I think the better that we'll be off.
Okay, we suck, we this, we that. Everybody's going to talk crazy. Where are we right now on what the Texans are as a football team? We suck, we this, we that. I don't know. Do they end up, realistically?
The offense sucks.
The offense sucks.
Yeah, the offense sucks.
So he's right there. He wasn't talking about the whole team. The offense sucks.
It sucks.
Yeah, they're bad. They can't score touchdowns.
No.
They scored one
on a circus catch by Nico Collins, yeah. And they scored another one that there's an open debate as to whether or not they were allowed to score.
Sean, they scored one touchdown in the first game, two in the second. That's a nice steady graph upwards, okay?
Where did they score a touchdown in the first game?
Oh, yeah, I meant.
You're thinking of the last preseason game.
Sean, they're scoring an average of one touchdown per game.
They got to you. Did they get to you?
We suck, we this, we that.
Yeah.
As a team, even though right now I am upset with the swarm mentality, with the bad tackling, with the poor leverage, with all of the things that the defense has collapsed in the fourth quarter, with all of the things that they've done, I think they're not an elite defense right now.
No.
But they're a very functioning defense, at least. They need to be, they're not playing up to their ability, yep, in my opinion. And the special teams yeah, is doing some good things. Right now, are they a 500 football team? Are they the way they played versus two? I think good teams,
yep,
in the Rams and the Bucks.
Yep.
And they did play it down to the wire, but then they got absolutely worked in the fourth quarter. It's just that you have to heavily weight the fourth quarter. Are they a 500 football team?
500? Are we counting 8-9 as a 500?
Yeah,
football
whatever.
Team?
8-9, 9-8 these days is, yeah, a 500,
yeah,
team.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, I think they're a 500 football team. I don't think they're a double digit win football team right now by any means. You can't win 10 games with this offense.
You can't beat the Baltimore Ravens.
You
with
can't,
that
dude.
Offense.
You're gonna get, and what, and you're gonna, and the you problem with that Chiefs. Is you're gonna get run off the field by the Ravens if the Achilles heel of your defense is that you're allowing drives to sustain, that you're poor on third down, that you're getting pushed around at home by a patchwork offensive line by the Buccaneers. I mean, Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, they're going to run for a $150 a piece against you in Baltimore, a team that you've never played close since Lamar Jackson's gotten there. And that predates D'Amico Ryans. Goes back to Bill O'Brien.
The Texans right now are dead last in scoring offense.
That matches the eye test.
Yeah, wait, have they updated this? Let me double check. Yes, they have. So they're dead last in scoring offense. The Ravens are dead first in scoring offense.
Dead first.
They're dead first, followed by the Bills, who are dead second.
Yeah.
The Colts, I'm just looking at opponents, are dead fourth.
Yep.
The Jaguars.
Yeah. Jaguars scored 27 and 26.
Jaguars are dead seventh in scoring right now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like the Jags are seventh. The Cardinals are probably pretty high up that list, I would imagine. They've They're top 10.
They're looks top, like, yeah.
Yeah, top 10. Yeah, yeah, you play them later in the year.
Chargers. Yeah.
This, Rams, I mean, so. I'm totally overreacting, but 2 weeks in, the schedule is shaping up way harder than we thought it would be at the beginning of the year.
These are the teams that were far, far ahead of the Texans in scoring after just one game.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears are one of them.
Yeah. After two games, right? Yeah.
Yeah, after two games.
Yeah.
Whatever. Boy, I'm messing up this. Boy, we cannot end this show quickly enough.
I got one more segment left.
Did you watch any of the Raiders game at all last night?
I did
night?
Just while doing the post game show, and I was watching.
Guess apparently Tom Brady wasn't all that happy.
No, well, Geno Smith stunk.
Yeah,
he was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I had him starting on one of my fantasy teams, and it happens to be the one I share with my wife. And that was the first thing I heard when I got home last night at 12:30 at night. Walked into our dark bedroom, lights were all out. Figured she was asleep, and what do I hear as I'm walking into the bathroom, take a shower? You are no longer managing our fantasy team. That's what I heard in the dark. You are no longer managing our fantasy team.
Yeah.
That was higher up the pecking order of Texans. It was higher than Texans suck on her list of things that she was ready to say. So, all right, final segment coming up. The two plays on the final drive, the left hook where the Texans got rubber legs, and then the right hook where I said, this game's over. We'll play those. Let's hear how that sounded through the voice of Vandy in the final segment. We'll do that coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
What we all miss the most is the food.
The Chinese food.
Any decent Chinese food or pizza.
New York City pizza.
I'm not driving 35 minutes for a decent slice of pizza, okay?
There's no pizza. There's no bagels.
The bagels.
Man, I miss some bacon, egg, and cheeses, man.
I have 3 Thai places on my block.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. That final drive, man, that final drive by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was painful to watch. Was confident in the Texans' defense ability to prevent a touchdown. The Bucs hadn't scored a point since early in the second quarter of that game. As much as it felt like they were churning out yardage all night, the Texans they had a spell of football there where they were pretty good at getting off the field, making plays.
Honestly, during the game, I kind of kept reminding myself, like, all right, the defense did come up with a stop here. Okay, the defense did come up with a stop here. There was the regularity with which the Bucs were running the ball seemingly at will it kind of clouded my overall feel about everything. And I would have kept thinking that way, except that the final drive, the Texans just allowed the Bucs to drive down and seal the victory. It feels like they didn't put up a fight. They got him to 4th and 10. Henry Toa takes a horrible angle on a blitz, misses the tackle. Baker Mayfield does a diving somersault even after he got the first down, and just. Oh.
Bucs had a 10-yard penalty on the kickoff return on that final drive.
Right.
So they started out at their own 20. Baker gets a 12-yard pass to Bucky Irving, which felt like a theme throughout the night. Bucky Irving just churning out yards. Then a short pass for no gain. It's 2nd and 10. Baker Mayfield, incomplete pass deep left. 3rd and 10. Baker Mayfield, incomplete pass deep right. That if Baker just pulls the string a little bit on it, it's probably a completion. To Emeka Ebuka. Oh,
Ebuka should have caught that.
Yeah.
It was in
Kalen
his hands.
Bullock celebrated like he broke it up.
It was it would have been an impressive catch, yeah. But Ebuka, I'll just say he easily could have caught that.
Yeah, I didn't know. When it left Baker's hands and you look downfield, you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Because he's open. So that was on 3rd and 10. So then the 4th and 10 that Seth talked about. 4th and 10, minute 24 to go, Baker in shotgun. This is it. You get off the field on this play. You're 1-1 on the season. And we're not looking at any graphics on TV today, Seth, of can the Bucs win the NFC? Is Baker Mayfield a tier one quarterback? None of that. If Henry Toa makes a tackle on this play you're about to hear, then the narrative about this team shifts maybe not 180 degrees, but probably maybe 120 or 150 degrees. Here's what it sounded like on 4th and 10.
4th and 10, Buccaneers from their 32. Mayfield with three receivers to the right side. He's in the gun, one back. Mayfield to pass. Here's heavy pressure. Mayfield escapes up the middle, running across the 40, running across the 45, tripped up at the 47-yard line. First down, Buccaneers. C.J. Gardner-Johnson got him down. A minute 11 to go. Clock is running.
Got him down. Talked trash at him after he means.
Henry Toto has got to come tighter on that blitz. Allows him an easy running lane up the middle. And this is just 2 weeks in a row now where the defense haven't put up a fight at the end of the game. They put up a fight. That's one play, but it's 4th and 10 versus a mobile quarterback. The tough thing last night, and it was frustrating for me, is they're doing a contain mush rush for a lot of times, trying to keep Baker in the pocket. The two things that bother me about that are, one, that, okay, he can still kill you from the pocket. They got a few sacks, great. But two, it's that even when you mush rush, like, it's still, the quarterback still escapes.
Yeah.
Like, there's still times that the guys escape. And they didn't do a good job, enough job of limiting Baker Mayfield's legs.
Yep.
But especially on that play, that's Henry Toa's just got, he's got to make that tackle.
Yeah, that.
At the very least, hang on for a little bit. Can you at least miss the tackle slowly?
If this were a boxing match, that play felt like it kind of put the Texans on rubber legs a little bit.
Yeah.
Like that was a stun. They kind of stunned them there. Two plays later, though, you know, it's 1st and 10 now. At about midfield, Tampa Bay 47. And
yeah, even after that, they still...
You got plenty of chances.
Right.
Yeah.
They still got to score a touchdown. This is difficult.
They're on their own side of the field with under a minute to go. And granted, they had all three of their timeouts, but still, you're absolutely right. If this defense is what everybody's saying it is, including me, I have them on every single fantasy league I'm in, they should get off the field and prevent a touchdown at the end of the game.
At that point in the game, they still needed to run 6 more plays to win the game.
Yeah. The win probability for the Texans is probably well over 50% at this point still. So it's 1st and 10 at the Tampa Bay 47. They get an 8-yard pass along the sideline over the middle to Cade Otton to make it 2nd and 2. They're now on the Texans side of the field on the 45-yard line. This, to me, honestly, I know the knockout blow literally was the touchdown at the end there. This was the play where I said out loud, they're going to lose this football game.
2nd down and a long one at the Houston 45. Mayfield in the gun. One back, Irving. Two receivers each side. Here's the snap to Baker. He's in the pocket. Here's pressure. Dumps it off to Irving. Irving makes a move on Aziz across the 35, 30. Still going and dragged down at the 22-yard line by Aziz Alshire, who recovered on the play. 1st down at the Houston 23, 42 seconds to go.
Okay, a couple things here, and that's obviously Mark Vandermeer on the call. I mean, I don't even know if it was a move. Aziz ran off of the screen.
Just ran past him, yeah.
Yeah, and it goes to show you that Aziz was the one who made the tackle still after he gained all those yards.
Where was the swarm on that?
Well, they're swarming, but they're bouncing off of him.
Right. Yeah,
the guy who missed the tackle made the tackle 12 yards downfield.
Nobody does a better job of rallying to the missed tackle than the Houston Texans defense. They hustle their butts off to go miss a tackle.
Yeah.
It's just incredible to watch and see. Wow, look at the ferociousness. Look at them just running around and just trying to go out, come up with a big hit or just be a human missile or something and never actually try to make a tackle.
The Texans missed a bunch of tackles. And Vandy's great. It's hard for a play-by-play guy to actually tell you who all is missing tackles when there was that many on one play. But this is so I'm filling in one of the gaps here. Henry Toa, two plays after a shameful miss on Baker Mayfield that would have ended the game, decides to try to tackle Bucky Irving, who's been breaking tackles all night, by throwing a shoulder in there.
Right.
That's swarm, people.
Yeah.
That's swarm. Swarm is a dirty word now because we've got two games of this now where swarm has equated to silly penalties, bad run fits, and horrible tackling. I feel like this is baked into the swarm mentality, and we have declared Payne and Pendergast a swarm-free zone. We are not about the swarm.
It's no
anymore.
Longer special work ethic and relentless mindset.
We're still getting acronyms. Yeah. It stands for, this time, sloppy, weak, and reluctant men.
weak, and reluctant men?
Yeah, men. Sloppy, weak, and reluctant men. So, yeah.
Yeah, so let's see. On that play, Aziz just runs past Bucky Irving. Jalen Petrie runs past him and then tries to dive backwards towards him. Then you have, you had Henry Toa just throw a shoulder into
throw
him.
A shoulder into
like,
him.
Why? Oh, my God.
Horrible,
I didn't realize
right?
how bad,
it was bad
this was.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was bad.
And then Kalen Bullock missed, too.
Oh, my God.
You guys are all, oh, my God.
Seth's watching the video of the play. I feel like this almost requires a reaction video.
This one I had watched in real time, and I was upset about all the missed tackles.
Two chicks, one swarm.
Jalen Petrie is just laying out backwards like he's doing he's diving backwards into a pool or something.
Dude.
And then Henry Toa comes in and just lunges at him. Like Henry Toa could have a kill shot there. What is everybody doing?
I love this.
What? Oh my God. You're right. He just
throws his shoulder.
Toa looks like he's trying to cut block him.
Yeah. Yes. He does.
You know?
He does.
He's a fullback and he thinks he's not allowed to tackle
a
guy.
Yep. So a few plays later after that one that gets them deep into Texans territory, there was a pass to Mike Evans that got him in goal to go. And then finally, the coup de grace, the true knockout punch.
9 seconds to go. Ball inside the 3, second and goal. Mayfield under center. Rashad White in the backfield. Here's Otten in motion to the left. Mayfield digs in. Otten back to the right in motion. Handoff White up the middle. White to the goal line. And White into the end zone. With 6 seconds to go, the Bucs do it. They drive deep and score to take the lead on the Texans 2019.
That's the ultimate revenge, man. There were 6 seconds left when Tank scored 2 years ago. And the Bucs, they had a little more time to go the length of the field than the Texans did.
Yeah.
It took them a couple of minutes. Texans had 46 seconds. That, boy, go back and watch the highlights of that game. You can find it on YouTube real easy. Unrecognizable offensively compared to what we've got now.
I'll tell you what,
the
Texans. I credit the Texans defense. They shut down that 2-point conversion.
We're not going to let you run up the score on us. All right. You know, 22-19. You know what 22-19 looks like for the playoff committee? Hell no, man. 1-point game, 20-19. That was brutal. So those were the various blows, the various body and head blows from the Buccaneers on that last drive, that last touchdown drive. Man, brutal. Hi, fellas.
Brutal.
Yeah. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula are here. You guys don't have to do this. You know, this is your piece of real estate after 10 o'clock, but from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., for the time being at least, this is no longer a swarm zone. Swarm-free zone. With that is a dirty word because the missed tackles, the stupid penalties, the bad run fits – the silly play, the unintelligent, the meathead play, to use Seth's word.
Sean's pointing at me as he says meathead.
No, because you said it.
Is that like a PTSD response?
Because you said it earlier. That is baked into that. I'm putting my hands at my side. That is baked into Swarm. Yeah. You can't have the Swarm mentality without having all the stupidity that goes with it.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
it really is. It's almost there's a certain level of almost caveman that they want out of them. It's like the difference between, you know, think about like elite units of the military. Like they're very, very lethal, but they're very, very precise. The precision, you know, versus like whatever the Texans defense hear all this messaging about Swarm, and it feels like they just think, I'm going to run at them hard and hit them hard. It's like when the Roman legions would go take on these barbarians, and the barbarians were like, armor, that's for wusses. And the Romans would be like, I slice you here, I slice you. Ah, so nice, you like a pizza.
You probably want the armor.
Because that's how they talked. They're just doing it like barbarians. They don't have any. There's no skill to it. Mm-hmm. They just want to run fast at
they're
stuff.
Swarming.
And hit it. Yeah.
They're swarming.
I thought it was a swarm-free zone.
They're swarming. No, we're mentioning. Actually, we changed. We have listeners texting in the new acronym. It's no longer special work ethic and relentless mindset.
Yeah.
We've read like 20 of these.
What was mine?
They're still coming in. Yours was.
Mine is. I wrote it down. Hold on a second.
The ARM actually stands for the word arm in yours.
Arm tackling, yeah. What the hell? Whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah.
This one.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. I said stupid, reckless arm tackling.
Yeah. Swarm! Yeah, swarm afterwards. All right, ready, guys? Swinging wildly at runners and missing. Swarm! Yeah, we've been spending the 9 o'clock hour doing that.
What else are you going to do?
Has it been at all cathartic
to keep
for you?
From crying.
Yeah. Has it been cathartic for you?
It's helped.
Okay.
It's helped for sure.
Hey, it hasn't. I feel weird. This entire 4 hours, I felt weird because I'm 100% being very, very critical of the defense, and I think justifiably so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because we hold them to a different standard, I think, than we do the offense. The offense is just a decrepit mess.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to do with them.
Yeah.
I feel like the defense, at least, is that he's my child that has potential, and he's squandering it away. I found him in some damn opium den.
Yep.
You know, I gotta slap him. You're like, get a hold of yourself, man.
You're better than
that. The offense has always been a jackass. I never thought he was gonna do a damn thing in his life. Frankly, I don't like that he shares my last name.
Right.
The offense is the middle child.
Special teams, though.
Yeah.
Special teams.
Ooh, baby.
Gifted and talented last night.
Is it like if Cousin Oliver was actually cool? That's what the special teams is.
With his bull haircut. Yeah. You'll never be cool with the bull haircut. Hey, imagine this. And I know, John, you will not cry any tears for me over this one. But I was just thinking about this as I've been writing my Houston Press article during breaks. My two teams, my pro team is the Texans. My college team is Notre Dame. And imagine the last 72 hours for me, where my college team and my pro team both lose heartbreaking games at home after taking a late lead on a touchdown. They both missed their extra points, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. And then each allowed a length of the field touchdown drive with under 10 seconds to go that included a fourth down conversion on fourth and 11.
To two Heisman winners.
To I didn't even know. Get out of here with Marcel Reed. Both to fall to 0-2 on the season. Like, isn't that a weird coincidence?
That is a very weird coincidence.
Yeah. Like, I know you'll only shed tears over one of those.
One eye.
The Aggies, yeah. Well, you're shedding tears of joy over the other
one. Okay, both eyes.
Both eyes, yeah. Both eyes. And as long as Seth moves out of that chair to that chair, John feels no remorse.
Why am I
for
even
me.
Talking with you?
Exactly. I'm sitting in John's chair.
Walking
right
in, I was like, you're going to be upset walking into this studio, and you'll see why.
He patted Seth on the back. Don't think I didn't see that. I know what that was all about.
For sitting here.
Because you moved.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which is not a requirement, by the way.
I forget to do it. I don't do it out of spite. I just forget to do it.
I think myself and Seth have developed quite an unspoken bond of camaraderie that seemingly
John
you two don't share.
We're going to fight in the parking lot.
We're going to jog.
Lightly next to each other. Yes. Question of the day, boys.
Oh, did you see Baker Mayfield after
I
the
watched
game?
Him last. Oh,
yeah, what
game.
Did he say? I've heard
Well,
about
first
this,
and foremost, he stepped to the podium, and his only word was, Yes. Yeah. That was first.
But then he was asked about the little kerfuffle with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, which, yeah. by the way, C.J. Gardner-Johnson has magical powers of curing injuries all of a sudden because he was injured. And he goes, oh, CJ's talking trash? I feel much better. I'm going to talk trash back at him.
Yeah, I don't know. He probably was like genuinely banged up somehow, but like he found something to distract himself.
He's a dog, man. He's a dog.
He is a dog, but he kind of low-key. Do we have the audio ready, Figgy?
No, not quite yet.
We have the audio, but he kind of low-key insulted CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Paraphrase. What did he say?
They asked him about the little mix-up.
Yeah.
And he goes, just me and my boy Chauncey.
Yeah.
Used his full name.
What's a low key insult, a word or a phrase that you use?
I would say, okay, I don't know if I mean it as an insult sometimes, but I do genuinely feel this way. I admire the confidence of really stupid people sometimes. Like where like somebody's too dumb to know that they shouldn't be as confident.
That's why our show is so
good. Because a lot of times those people pull it off. And it's like they get by with sheer confidence. And I'll say like, I'm jealous of that dude's confidence because he has no right to be that confident. But you know what? It might work out. Yeah. So like I don't know if it's an insult or, but I genuinely mean it. Like there's times where I overthink things a lot.
Yeah.
I wish there was times where I'd be like, why am I thinking about this at all? I'm just gonna go bash stuff. Swarm. Yeah.
My thing is, if someone says something that I'm like, that is idiotic in my head, I go, okay, cowboy.
Oh, all right, so cowboy's an indicator.
That's not even past the rest. Yeah. That's like
cowboy.
Chief.
Okay. Cowboy is, yeah.
I, of course, found out sometime within the last year that to some, when you say buddy,
oh, yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. When, in fact, oftentimes I'm saying them to people who are actually my buddy.
And sometimes not.
Yeah. Only started using it disparagingly after I learned that it could be used disparagingly. Mm-hmm. I never knew there was such a usage. Mine is 99% of the time it's on social media. I'm not a big insult somebody to their face guy.
Mm. I know what you're going to say.
Well, I don't know if you... When someone gets upset with something I say, and especially when I think they're stupid, I just go, it's okay.
Oh, okay. That's not what I was thinking.
That's very Southern for a man who was born in Connecticut. That's very Southern of you.
It's okay. Yeah, I say it's okay. Or yeah. I say it's okay. Or if they repeatedly, I'm like, what? You're so angry with laughing emojis afterwards.
You know what, though, I did last night on social media, Sean? Because you and I have both been trying to be less triggered when we can. Last night, I had said after the Texans failed fourth and goal, I tweeted something out like... well, look, you don't want to use up all your touchdowns this early in the season anyway. But you're kind of like, okay, I wasn't skewering them or anything, but this guy gave me the old STFU, but he actually wrote it all up.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Which is way more aggressive when they write it all out.
That's true.
And I was like, that seems like a disproportionate response, but I just said, it's wrong, my friend.
Yeah.
Like a little bit passive aggressive, but also, the guy came
my
back.
My friend alone is one.
But the guy came back later and said, I'm just so miserable. And I was like, yeah, I get it. So we made nice. It didn't have to be a big thing.
What did you think I was going to say, John?
Oh, you must be fun at parties.
Oh, I do say that to people. I do say that to people. Thank you for reminding me. I need to use that
a little bit. You must be fun at parties.
Yeah. I've stolen
that a couple times.
You seem fun. An exclamation point. You seem fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Can I test, Sean, your ability to remain untriggered here? Because from the 409, we get a text that has their own swarm meaning. Sean will always remember Marcel.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Wow.
That's really good. Yeah. What am I going to say? The guy threw for 360 yards.
Yeah. Proud of you. That was good.
Say it again.
Sean will always remember Marcel.
Swarm!
Yeah. And
you stand up.
That's really good. Yeah, I'm standing. I'm standing on that part of the chair that feels like it's going to break every time.
At any moment.
We had Steve McKinney, who Aggie, obviously. We had Steve McKinney during the pregame, and Steve was very kind and gentle with you, Sean.
He wasn't
rubbing it in your face or anything like that.
I was kind of waiting for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it worse when then people realize that your team has treated you so poorly that they're like, actually, I can't do any worse. I'm just going to treat you nicely right now.
Yeah, well, Steve can really deliver. Steve, if you ask Steve this question, like, what's a good way to insult? Mm-hmm. Steve's really lethal with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just kind of a low-key, dryly delivered insult.
That dude killed a wild hog with his bare hands.
That's right. I remember.
Like, I'm insulting that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No insults for him.
That's a true story.
I believe I was tailgating with him, and the way that he was consuming beers, I was like, all right, that's a man that's killed a hog with his bare hands.
He's the best, man. He's the best.
And his son just committed to the Aggies.
He did. Yeah. He did. We had it in headlines the day that it happened on our show. Yeah, because he's, you know, friend of the show. And we, you know, and Seth's an honorary Aggie, so he wanted that in there, too.
We're talking about short offensive linemen because his son's only 6'3", you see.
He's like, he'd want him to be a center.
That's not short, but it's not like ideal height for a guard or a tackle.
Correct.
So we were talking about different positions. Anyway.
Fun. Yep. All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.